All right. Am I working all right? Yep, cool. So, today I am preaching on the fact that we have a God who is the God of all comfort. Today's passage, these verses are arguably the Bible's greatest text on comfort. The word comfort between verses 3 through to 7 in its noun and verb forms is used 10 times. That's in 5 verses, the word comfort is used 10 times. And yet, whilst it is about comfort, we see that there is just as much discussion around affliction and suffering, for without affliction, there is no need for comfort. There was once a man who was said to be a Christian. His name was Malcolm Muggeridge. He was a politician in the United Kingdom, as well as a journalist, a satirist during the 1900s. And he once wrote on the idea of affliction and had this to say: "Contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful with particular satisfaction. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness and everything I've learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my experience has been through affliction and not through happiness. So we need not fear the troubles of this life, but not only will we learn from them, but we have a God who is the God of all comfort, who will get us through our afflictions." And that's what I'm preaching to you about today. I love that Paul starts with "Blessed be God." Don't miss this line. Don't skip over it. So often we skip over the intros to letters because we just think, well, he's just introducing himself. He's basically just saying hello. But we must always begin with God and all that he is and never cease singing his praises. Here is Paul, a man who could wake up on any given day not knowing whether he was probably going to be stoned or killed or run out of town, for his enemies were many and mighty and cruel. And yet in this letter and in many others, he always begins with praising God. We begin with God because when we fix our eyes on him, everything else, all the troubles of the world begin to fade away because we know that with God, we have all that we need. And so we can boldly proclaim, "Blessed be your name." Oh, friends, if you're afraid of being overcome, take to praising God. If you're in trouble and do not know how to bear it, divert your thoughts by praising God. Get away from the present trial by blessing and magnifying his holy name. Nothing else will maintain joy in your heart in the midst of trials. If you wish to be sustained and prevent the enemy from overcoming you, then take to praising God. Nothing will quicker destroy the desires of the flesh, Satan's workings, and the world at work around you. Nothing will quicker destroy those things than taking to God and saying, "Blessed be your name." Because you are screaming at Satan, you're screaming at the world that whatever you may throw my way, I have a God who is bigger. I have a God who is stronger, and I have a God who has overcome it. Take to praising God, for he is all that you need. And he goes on to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And because God is the Father of Jesus, that makes him the Father of every believer. And just as a child may not have a single dollar in their pocket, they will always still consider themselves rich if they have a rich father. And yet, how much more is that true for Christians? For even though you may be very, very poor, you have a very rich father who is rich in love and mercy and grace. And our Father has made us a co-heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What more do you need? And so we must comfort ourselves with this blessed truth of "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." One line that we would so often skip over, but don't do it. Don't skip over it. And then Paul goes on to say he was also the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And so we praise God for the mercy that he shows us and all the kindness that he showers upon us every single day. But not only is the Father of mercies, but the God of all comfort. It is a name of hope, a name that ought to stir our hearts and bring us to our knees in praising God. He is the God of all comfort and not of some comfort. If you're in need of comfort today, God has it. He will give it to you. Because true, lasting, and fulfilling comfort is not found in anything that the creature that we supply, but found in the Creator. There are some things which the world calls comfort which are not of God. There are many in the world who will try to drown their misery through pleasure, through alcohol, and through drugs. And it's sad that so many people think these things will restore joy into their lives when not only does it kill them spiritually, it kills them physically. It is not the source of our comfort. Whatever may be considered comfort by the rest of the world, but is not of God, we can be sure that there will be no consolation found. So we must not turn to these things for our source of comfort, Christians. Must not turn to them. If we will but turn to God in our moment of need, our times of trials, we will find a God who cares. We will find mercy and grace and compassion, and you will find comfort. And we know this is true because in Matthew 11, Jesus calls upon people to turn to him and says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." I don't know what many of you are going through today. Maybe you've recently lost a loved one. Maybe you're just trying to get through that. Maybe there's times of trouble in your own home. Maybe you're just going through a job loss or having trials at work. Maybe you're losing friends and experiencing persecution for your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe just the weariness of life is getting the better of you. But my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you will but turn to God, you will find comfort. You will find comfort, but turn to God. And we are comforted by God to comfort others. For he comforts us in all our affliction. The Greek word here for affliction is tribulation, distress, persecution. It means pressure, whatever it is that constricts you or narrows you. It means to be pressed upon hard. And at some point in our lives, we will face difficulties for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll get into this a little bit more later on. But the good news is that God's grace and comfort will always exceed the afflictions of this world. God's grace and comfort will always exceed the afflictions of this world. Why? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. You see, as we suffer and are comforted by God, it is then our privilege and responsibility to pass on that comfort to those around us. We are encouraged and comforted to build up in order that the body of Christ may be edified and built up and encouraged and comforted. The Spirit works through his people to comfort those who are downtrodden by the pains and turmoil of life. And like I preached on last time, this is why community is so important. It is imperative to the Christian life. We weren't meant to do it by ourselves. The Bible will time and time again call us to come together, to comfort one another, to build up one another, to convict one another, to push one another back to God, who is the author of life. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God, it is essential for the comfort of fellow Christians that we go through times of trial in order that we too can experience the comfort of God to pass on to others. A person who has never had any trouble in their life, never gone through anything hard in their life, will be very awkward and not really adequately equipped to comfort others. So if we are to be of utmost service to God, then the comfort of the gospel has to be real and fresh for us. And the same comfort will overflow into other people's lives during their times of affliction. And so we share in Christ, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. This is referring to the sufferings that come to those involved in the service of Christ. Paul, in writing to Timothy, when he's telling him about all the troubles that he's gone through with the gospel, because he's going around and telling people the truth in love, he then goes on to say that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In the course of godly living, it is inevitable that believers will be afflicted. It is inevitable. And so I want to ask you the question today. Are you suffering because of your commitment to Christ? I urge you not to run from it. Don't curse your circumstances. Instead, patiently endure. Remember the words of James when he encourages us to count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And as we suffer, God is conforming us to the image of his Son who suffered for us. Do not go looking for suffering, but rather when it comes, you know that you can stand strong in the God of all comfort. You can stand strong in the promises of his word, and you can stand strong in Christ, the solid rock. You see, there are two extremes that we often don't go to as Christians. We often don't take sin seriously enough. We forget about the holiness of God. But then when we time tough times come our way, we often forget how good our God is, how gracious our God is, and how comforting our God is. He is an all-holy God, and he is an all-comforting God. We must take the comfort of God seriously, because he is there for you. He's so often waiting with open arms, and he just wants you to turn to him, and yet we go to everything else but God. Christians, I urge you to go to God first. So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. Living for Jesus is hard. God's word tells us this. But the great news of the gospel is that our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are committed to supplying the resources, encouragement, correction, and resolve that we need to keep living for him. Having paid the ultimate price for every believer's salvation and freedom through the death of his one and only Son, God will be with us to love, strengthen, protect, and comfort us in every trial of life. In Jesus Christ, we have unhindered access to the Father, and the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us. And because of that reality, you can be assured that in tough times, when all seems hopeless, you will find hope and comfort in God. You will find hope and comfort in God. Because Jesus came to earth as a man and suffered terribly. So as we pray to God, we know we have an advocate who can sympathize with us. Jesus was rejected by his own creation. He died unjustly because it was us who should have been put on the cross. He died for our sins, even though he himself was sinless. His own friends turned their back on him. Those who should have been most devoted to him because they knew his word, the Pharisees, hated him. They put him to death. Jesus spent 40 days being tempted by Satan, but never giving in. Jesus came to earth and was persecuted, rejected, mocked, and scorned. Jesus came and died that we might be children of God, the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous, once for all. Jesus didn't just suffer. He suffered unfairly. So let us never fall into the trap of thinking that Jesus doesn't know what it's like. He could never understand because he does. Whilst he never sinned, he was most certainly afflicted during his time here on earth. And he says the same thing to his disciples, that if the world hates me, it's going to hate you. But I don't send you out in defeat. I send you out in victory, knowing that in me you can overcome, and in me you will overcome. And so we know that as we draw near to God in prayer, with Jesus as our advocate sitting at the right hand of God the Father, we know we have an advocate who understands. Many of us in this life feel the allure of success, but Paul is telling us to aim higher than that. Paul tells us to focus on staying faithful through suffering. Everything screams at us in this life that is all about climbing the ladder of honor, respectability, and financial security. And yet Paul wants to remind us that this life in this world is not our home. We are but pilgrims marching on towards an eternal kingdom, marching on towards an eternal home. So we ought to stay focused on living for Christ, no matter what trials and temptations may come our way. The honor of sharing in Christ's sufferings is always accompanied with the joy of sharing God's comfort. Never forget this in your times of trial. It's accompanied with the joy of sharing God's comfort. The grace of God will sustain you and enable you to endure all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We must cast our affliction before the Father, the God of all comfort, and leave it there. Don't go and try and get it back. Leave it there, and you will find comfort in God. Because God is our deliverer. Paul says that we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves. Paul was at the point of death. He genuinely thought he was going to die. And yet Paul knew that by being afflicted, God was teaching him a lesson. He was saying, take your eyes off yourself for a minute. Because you see, intense sufferings remind us of our utter helplessness in a way that when things are going all too well, just can't. Utter helplessness, something we too often forget when things are going well. But rather than focusing on yourself, God was getting Paul to focus on him who raises the dead. Suffering forces us to recall the grace of God and remember God himself. The reason we ought to turn to God rather than any man-made comfort is because our God is a God who raises the dead. And we don't just speak about it because it's written in a book. We know that it happens. We know that when Jesus was alive, he raised Lazarus back from the dead. And we know that when Jesus was crucified, God brought him back from the dead. And we know that one day when this world comes to an end, we're all going to be raised back to life. But he doesn't just do it physically, he does it spiritually. He did it to someone like me who is dead. I was dead in my sin, I was a wretch and I was a sinner, I didn't deserve it. But in God's grace and by his power, I was given a new heart and given a new life and I was born again. We have a God who raises the dead, and that's the one who we put our hope in, and that's the one who is the God of all comfort. That's who we turn to when times get tough. He cares and he loves. So can I urge you to turn to him, the God of all comfort who raises the dead? God does it in the hearts of all unbelievers, and it is the same God that we are called to rely upon in this life. You see, suffering is a page in the textbook used in God's school of faith. It brings us to the end of ourselves and before the throne of God. For it is when we suffer and when we come to the ends of ourselves that we fall upon our knees and cry out to God. It is there that we are met with open arms. It is there that we are met with grace and mercy and compassion. Do we deserve this kind of love and grace? Absolutely not. But that's why it's called grace. Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. Do you deserve love and grace? No. But it is in Jesus Christ that we are given it. We can enter freely and boldly into the throne room of God. For he delivered us from such a deadly peril, this is Paul, and he will deliver us. And so when Paul turned to God, God delivered them from their deadly peril. And he knows that because God is a faithful God, he will do it again when tough times come their way. And he says, on him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. And so because God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and remember, he's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, and now he's the God who raises the dead, we can be sure that our hope in him will not be in vain, because he is now also the delivering God. Right, so we have the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Father of mercies, he's the God of all comfort, he's the God who raises the dead, and he's a delivering God. Three times the word deliver is used in verse 10. The first is past, he has delivered. The second is near future, he will deliver us. And the third is ultimate future, up there, he will deliver us again. And this is how that reads if you take out all the words in between. He delivered, he will deliver us, and he will deliver us again. It's a delivering God that we serve. You can be sure that whatever life may throw your way, there will come a day when all who have believed in Jesus Christ will be completely delivered from suffering and sin and death. And we will spend eternity with God in his kingdom that will never perish. You see, Paul's resume by the world standards was not very impressive. Paul says, yes, I've got nothing. All I can show you are my bruises. All I can do is count out the amount of times I've been run out of town. All I can boast about is the fact that I was dead, but God brought me back to life. But you see, his only boast is in God. His resume and our resumes are not about us. It's about our God who shows us our weakness, encourages us through weakness, and will rescue us in our weakness through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our only boast is in God. That's our only boast. And so I'm finishing off today. As Christians in this life, we will suffer. The Bible tells us this. The world hates the things of God, but we are to be people of light in this world of darkness. Jesus went around and was ridiculed and mocked and rejected and scorned. Why? Because he was telling them the truth. He was killed for telling the truth. And so we are now to be bearers of that truth, and we preach it in love. We are going to be hated by the kingdom of darkness. We're going to be hated by those who love lies. We're going to be hated by those who love sin, because we are the opposite of all of those in Christ Jesus. So it is inevitable that as we live for God, we will experience suffering. Don't go looking for it, but it's inevitable. But we suffer in order that we may build up one another and comfort one another by the same comfort we received by God. Phil read out at the start that we aren't to forsake the gathering. And this is why. It's not to punish you because church is an evil place to come to, or because it's boring, or because Harrison's going too long, or whatever it might be. You come here to be comforted and to be built up and to be reminded of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, because maybe the other 6 days this week you completely forgot about him. God comforts us and is at work in you and me for the benefit of other people, and in particular the body of Christ, for we can only share what we have received ourselves. Our God is a delivering God, and so we can put all our hope in him because he will one day deliver us from all the suffering of the world. Christians, turn to your heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you and waits with open arms, and you will find the comfort and rest that you need. Or perhaps you're sitting there today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the burden of your sin is weighing heavily upon your heart. Can I urge you to fix your eyes upon the cross where Jesus died, with the weight of your sin upon him? He did that so that if you would cast your sins upon him and repent of your sins, you would no longer be condemned by them. And so the heavy weight that you're feeling right now can be lifted. It can be lifted. And so for you today, if you will believe in Jesus Christ and surrender your life to him, you too can experience the love of God, who is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. In closing today, I'm going to play a song that reflects the sermon today very well, very beautifully. Pay close attention to the lyrics. Spend time reflecting on them. Cast yourself upon God, the Father of all comfort. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for who you are. I want to thank you that you are the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're the Father of mercies and you're the God of all comfort. And so when we come to you, we find grace and we find mercy and we find compassion. And Lord, we want to thank you for the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve it, but you sent him anyways, for it was the only way. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you that he came and he made that way for us, the sinners like me, so that I could be called a child of God. Thank you that you are the God of all comfort. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.